You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking with a gentleman who wants your advice. He wants to know what space station, what space missions, all those space missions we have, what kind of space missions he should tattoo on his arms. So we're going to have him come on, and you can call us at 1-800-989-8255 and give us your recommendation. You can tweet us at SciFry. He's going to ask for your help. But before that, some very interesting stuff about turning kids on to science. You know, you've all probably heard of 4-H clubs, which there are chapters of them all over the country, but you may not know that the H stand for. Remember what the H stands for? Well, head, heart, hands, and health. And for this week, maybe it's time to add, we've added a fifth H for hypothesis, because students all over the country are participating in a national 4-H Youth Science Day. And in auditoriums and gymnasiums across the country, thousands of kids all did the same science experiment in which they explored the relationship between carbon dioxide, CO2, and water. And joining me now to talk more about it are my guests. Donald Floyd is a CEO and president of the National 4-H Council. He joins us by phone from Chevy Chase, Maryland. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ara. How are you?
Thank you. Jackie Davis-Manigault is a senior extension associate and a family and youth development program leader for the Cornell University Cooperative Extension here in New York, and she's with us in our New York studio. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Also with us is Lazarus Lynch. He's a student at the Food and Finance High School in Manhattan. Thanks for coming in today.
It's a pleasure being here.
Lazarus, can you tell us what the experiment was that you did?
Well, the National Science Day is a time when 4-H'ers all around the country will engage in science experiments to discuss water quality and global climate change issues. We will also be talking about how we can reduce our carbon footprint to lessen the negative impact we have on our environment. We will also be discussing the effects of CO2 and nutrient runoff and how it leads to the overproduction of algae in lakes, leading to changes in water quality. Mm-hmm. The event will actually be taking place at my school, and we have a greenhouse on the roof, and we also have a hydroponics and aquaponic lab where we are in efforts to reduce our carbon footprint.
Donald Floyd, we don't really think of the 4-H usually as going into schools in New York City and other areas and gymnasiums. We think about them out, you know, 4-H members out with the cows.
Well, the great news is that thanks to Jackie, who's been my 20-year friend, we have a fantastic 4-H program in five boroughs in the greater New York City area. And so we're not only in Manhattan, Kansas, but Manhattan, New York.
Great little soundbite. But what about getting into science? We think of, you know, agriculture, agronomy, things like that. When did 4-H decide they were going to get active with having kids do real science-y things?
Yeah, actually, since we first started 110 years ago, we were an ag science program, and the big ag schools had a hard time putting new ag technology into the field, and they started corn clubs for the young kids on the farm, and they gave them hybrid seed, and they grew four times as many bushels per acre. And guess what Dad says is, where'd you get all that? And they tell them at the ag school. And so it was really a technology transfer and ag science from the earliest of days, and we've just adapted our programs over the years to the kinds of programs that Lazarus just described.
Jackie, why this experiment with CO2? Is it related to greenhouse gases and global warming?
It definitely is, and it's exciting for the young people to have a chance to actually do something hands-on that allows them to see it in action. One of the things that Lazarus mentioned is that we'll be doing this experiment at his school next week on Friday, but we actually did this experiment this past Wednesday at PS5 in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and there's nothing like seeing young people actually engaged, seeing a process where they can see how that change occurs. We also, to really bring the point home, had the opportunity to have one of our former 4-H's. 4-H, as Don's given our secrets away, I told him not to do that. But we actually have 4-H's who were in 4-H 20 years ago and who are now actively involved in careers that allow them to help tell about the messages that we are promoting in 4-H. So we had one of our New York City former 4-H's, Bernard Williams, who is now working for an organization called the Alliance for Climate Education. And through his efforts, he came and was able to serve as a real role model and talk about this topic in detail. And it just helped brought the message home for the young people.
Lazarus, you've won a prize already, have you?
I did.
Tell us about that.
So This is the World Food Prize, and the World Food Prize is awarded to those who have made significant advancement in quality, quantity, and the availability of food in the world. And so my topic was addressing gender and cultural discrimination and improving access to credit and securing property rights for the poor. And so I focused on Swaziland, which is located in southern Africa, primarily because I just never heard of it. Mm-hmm. But in the essay, I talk about a typical rural subsistence farm family and a mother who is struggling to produce food every day and sell for profit because her husband has died due to AIDS, which is very pervasive in Swaziland, and leaving her without any patriarchal representation to make financial decisions for the family's business. Overall, I would say women are greatly discriminated against and are treated as minors in Swaziland. They overall lack accessibility of administrating natural resources such as land. And so the deficiency of land rights by women and young girls define the victimizing existence of discrimination within the country. However, my findings were that by reinforcing current policies that embody women's rights and mediatory interventions by way of international organizations, women will rise to their rightful place and obtain due equal status with men.
Mm. You're in 11th grade?
I'm in 11th grade, yes.
You speak very well. You thought about public speaking?
Oh, yes. And you know what? 4-H is really, really big on public speaking events. Mm-hmm. I've participated in a public speaking event, and we do it on statewide level. We do it national level. Up in Syracuse, New York. And so that also helps young people develop social skills and interactions with other young people all around the world.
Mm-hmm. Donald, are you going to be doing these science experiments every year now?
This is our third year doing them. And last year was about biofuels, and the year before was about hydrogels. And this year, as Jackie said, you see these young kids get all fired up about science programs. That's what we're trying to do, is spark an interest. And we're also trying to deal with real-life issues so they understand why this stuff matters and they mm-hmm. can experience science firsthand. I wanted to note that Lazarus, this World Food Prize fellowship is a big deal. And I think we're actually going to see each other in Des Moines next week at the World Food Prize.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we have 200,000 young people in 4-H programs in 13 countries in Africa and around the world. So 4-H is a global movement these days.
Well, it seems like a perfect place to do a national, international experiment with kids.
Exactly. The experiment was done from Antarctica to Korea to Nairobi. So it's kind of fun to see that.
There are also a lot of ways that the youth will be able to build on this experiment. So we've trained the teachers so that they'll be doing things over the next couple of weeks that will build on the things that they did on Wednesday and throughout the country. You know, we also have about 3 or 4 different additional science education projects that we're going to be introducing in the next couple of months, and are hoping that we can get our people more involved in doing science education, both in the community-based schools and community-based organizations, including topics like junior master gardeners, the power of wind, there's no new air. These are all curricula that we got from our national 4-H program.
Well, the science is going on in all these things. You're gardening, you're doing, you know, we like to talk about gardening and Science Friday and our projects here. Mm-hmm. But gardening has all the science that's going on, and it goes everywhere. You know, you do urban gardening, you do rural gardening.
Absolutely. So that's why when people say they don't understand why we're in New York City, they're the ones missing out. Do you know the pledge? The pledge, I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. There's no part of that that doesn't apply to youth in New York City.
So. Well, maybe you can add that 5th H we added, the hypothesis.
Oh, hypothesis.
Absolutely, definitely. We've got to get that 1 million new scientists by 10-12, right, Don?
Exactly. We're well on our way. I think our projection is we'll have 1.4 million new young people in 4-H because of the science programs alone. Mm.
Lazarus, do you find kids are excited about this experiment?
Well, yes. In my school, we've been promoting this event amongst the student government and just building on the food and nutrition aspect in our food, in our school. And my school is a culinary-based high school. And so, you know, consistent with 4-H's pledge of head, heart, hands, and health, my interest lies in communicating food and nutrition for youth in a way that bridges, you know, their holistic health with food and nutrition. And so 4-H has also a great food and nutrition aspect called Keeping It Fit and Healthy, where we understand how to be healthy youth. And I also love, you know, engaging with other youth to see their different points of view on the world, and an example of what true citizenship is and what that means for our families, our lives, and our communities.
And just so you know, Lazarus's school is a New Vision High School that is sponsored by Cornell University Cooperative Extension in New York City.
Well, I think science is really getting hot with the youth these days. You know, with TV shows and books and Dana McKellar and math and all the kinds of things. It's girls and boys are really rediscovering science, and it's interesting to see that. And I wish you all the best of luck in your experiments.
Thank you.
And in comparing them, because we'd love to see the national results. It's great. It's a national test. We'd like to just see those national results.
Well, now we know where you are.
We're very centrally located, so it's easy to find us. I want to thank all of my guests for coming today. Donald Floyd is CEO and President of the National 4-H Council. He joined us by phone from Chevy Chase. Jackie Davis Manigault is Senior Extension Associate and the Family and Youth Development Program Leader at the Cornell University Cooperative Extension here in New York. And also Lazarus Lynch, he's a student at the Food and Finance High School in Manhattan. Thank you. Thanks
thank
all
you so
for
much.
Taking the trek down here to be with us.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.